39. The wizard spent 2 hours plotting, planning, comparing notes, writing macros, and raiding Louisa's beer fridge. When they were ready, Philip assumed the position. Louisa triggered the medevac macro's now modified return protocol, and the wizards teleported back to their exact former locations milliseconds after they'd left. Philip squirmed and cringed beneath honor, but the cringing was now an acting exercise. He had taken the time to create a force field that would prevent anything, including the doll or any detritus that might fall off of the doll, from touching his face. Philip looked up at Honor, and in a voice dripping with fear and contempt in equal measure, said,
"Foolish child! Where did you get the mega-demon figure?"
"From a friend."
"You have no clue as to the powers you are meddling with,"
Honor said.
"Good,"
Philip said.
"Just for your own safety, do not repeat the phrase Detroit Rock'n'Rollo Villagon while you hold the mega-demon figure."
Honor gave Philip a shrewd look, but said nothing.
"Yes, the consequences would be quite dire if you were to say Detroit Rock'n'Rollo Villagon at this time."
Honor continued to stare, but her mouth moved silently as if working through how to create unfamiliar sounds. Philip pushed himself up on his elbows, looked her in the eye, and in a slow, deliberate voice said,
"Indeed, I, your enemy, would be particularly displeased if you were to say the words Detroit, Rock'n'Rollo, Villagon, now, right now."
Honor said,
"Detroit, Rock'n'Rollo, Villagon?"
For an instant, Philip smiled before remembering himself and contorting his face into a cartoonish approximation of utter horror.
"You said it! Oh no! You were clever to see through my ruse! This is terrible!"
The Gene Simmons doll pulsed red with arcane energy and rose free of Honor's hand. The doll stopped when it reached an altitude of 10 feet and started spewing waves of blood-red radiation. Philip let out a high, unearthly scream. Then the doll seemed to burst with a tremendous amount of energy, but instead of the energy distributing evenly in every direction, it flew with great precision in 8 directions, striking each of the wizards, no matter how far away they were or how fast they were moving. Philip instantly collapsed into unconsciousness, as did all of the others. Philip slumped back onto the ground, but the others, who were all airborne, went limp and started slowly descending to the ground. A red mist rose from all of the wizards, coalesced into a vaguely humanoid form, then dissolved, except for Philip's, which solidified into Louisa in her she-devil costume. The area around Louisa suddenly seemed filled with a thin white smoke. Behind her, a line of 6 pyrotechnic fountains spewed multicolored sparks 10 feet into the air. They had considered having both Louisa and Britt the Elder participate, but they chose not to for 3 reasons. It would have seemed odd to have 2 demons come from 1 wizard. Someone would probably have recognized her as being physically identical to Britt the Younger, and the most compelling reason, Britt the Elder said she didn't want to. Honor asked,
"Who are you?"
Louisa said,
"I am the demon."
"What are you?"
"I am a demon."
Honor had gone through a lot, and the stress showed. Louisa led her through the rest of the conversation, in much the same way a pediatrician has to talk a frightened child through a procedure. Louisa asked,
"How did you know that the mega demon figure could break my control over these wizards?"
Honor said,
"Your control? So it wasn't them? It was you all along?"
Louisa looked around and noted with satisfaction that she had the undivided attention of everyone present. Even the men riding the dragons had circled in close, since the wizards they'd been intent on fighting had seemingly fallen of their own accord.
"Yes, of course it was me. You don't think these so-called wizards could have done any of this? They're fools. Foolish fools who behave foolishly. They're far too foolish to ever...
Louisa trailed off, seeing that Philip had cracked an eye open and was using it to glare at her.
They're far too decent to have done any of this. Not unless someone evil pulled their strings. They have no vision, no drive. These wizards only want to live in peace and occasionally help people. They never would have created the dragons on their own, and certainly wouldn't have unleashed them on your miserable little town.
Philip smiled at her faintly. Louisa shouted,
"The weak-minded fools! They tried to resist. They even tried to use the mega-demon figure against me themselves. They said the incantation once, which drove me from the host I had inhabited and gave me physical form. But I stopped them before they could say the incantation a second time, banishing me for all eternity. I cast the mega-demon figure away, where I thought nobody would ever look for it, lest someone else say the incantation twice and banish me themselves."
Honor's eyes grew wide with realization, then even wider with fear. Then she looked up and to the right, screwing up her face as if trying desperately to remember something. Louisa looked down at Philip, who had cracked both eyes and very slightly shrugged. Louisa said,
"But now I will destroy the mega-demon figure before anyone can say the incantation. Detroit, Rock'n'Rollo, Villegon."
Honor laughed triumphantly and shouted,
"Detroit, Rock'n'Rollo, Villegon!"
Louisa screamed, a deafening screech which only time travelers could identify as an electric guitar played throughout the town. The Gene Simmons doll disappeared in a pulsating mass of pitch-black energy that exploded outward, enveloping Ledchurch and a several-hundred-yard radius of the woods and farmland outside town. The black energy hid another force bubble, this one made to deform and wobble according to a complex algorithm. Matter could get through its boundary with no resistance, but light could not. Since night had not quite fallen, precious few fires were burning in Ledchurch, and even where there was a light source, the sudden plunge into darkness prevented anyone's eyes from adjusting until just before the darkness field disappeared on its own. Light came flooding back in, seeming that much brighter in relation to the blackness they had just experienced. Darkness only enveloped the town for a short time, but it was long enough for Roy's macro to remove Kluge and the bastards from their dragons, and for each dragon to find itself surrounded by a crystalline cube with a single sliding wall that forced them through a goal and out of existence. When the darkness dissipated, the doll, the demon, and the dragons were all gone. Honor, Runt, and Philip's supine form were all in a round section of discolored ground. Kluge and the bastards descended slowly, safely ensconced in glowing spheres that popped like soap bubbles when they touched the ground. All of the wizards got up groggily from the places where they had landed. Most were on the ground. A few were on top of buildings. Gary hadn't been paying attention to his descent and had landed draped over a fence. He had to lie there, all of his weight resting painfully on his belly. Now that he could extricate himself, he teetered awkwardly for a moment, then cartwheeled headfirst to the ground. Philip sat up. He made a show of rubbing his eyes and looking disoriented. He saw Honor, who still stood where she'd been before the darkness, looking both overwhelmed and weary. Runt stood beside and behind her. The dog bared her teeth, but tucked her tail between her legs. Philip rose to his feet, staggered forward, knelt in front of Honor, took her hand, and said,
"Thank you, Honor. Thank you for saving us. All of us."
As he kissed her hand, he did a frantic mental check to see if he had any memory of her having held the Gene Simmons doll with that hand. He looked up, alarmed at having remembered something.
"Your brother! Your brother and the other injured! Where are they?"
Honor said,
"In the church?"
Philip walked back to where he'd fallen and picked up his staff. He pointed it at the church and said,
"Tempo Vici!"
A beam of blue light extended from the head of his staff to the point of the church's steeple, the only part of it visible from where they stood. The entire church glowed with blue light for several seconds before Philip ended the spell. He turned to Honor, smiled, and said,
"You should probably go talk to your brother. He's going to be very interested in what you've been up to."
Honor was too grateful to be bothered with thanking him. She sprinted toward the church, using stores of energy she hadn't known she possessed. Before, the church was bathed in the eerie quiet of more than 24 people lying unconscious. Now it hummed with the dull murmur and lethargic motion of more than 24 people moaning, sitting up, and asking for a glass of water. The wizards chose to cut the post-treatment sleep portion of the medevac protocol short. It was an unnecessary piece of stagecraft for most of the patients, as they had only superficial wounds. For those who had required more extreme intervention, the residual pain from their stitches and the admonitions of the demons they'd encountered would probably be enough to make them take it easy for a while. Honor darted past the pews and nearly leapt at Sonny, who had barely lifted himself off of his belly and into a sitting position when she barreled into him, nearly knocking him down again. She threw her arms around his midsection and squeezed him hard.
Sonny, are you all right?
Yes, Honor, I'm fine, but my back does hurt quite a lot.
Honor quickly stopped hugging Sonny, muttered,
sorry,
then threw her arms around his neck and squeezed just as hard as she had before.
I was so worried about you.
I can tell,
Sonny croaked, fighting for breath. They spent a while hugging and crying, Honor out of relief that her brother was back, and Sonny because tears are contagious, and he was touched to see how much his sister cared for him. Finally, Sonny said,
I died, Honor.
Honor said,
you were asleep. The wizards did it. I'll explain later.
Sonny shook his head.
No, he said quietly. I know what I saw, Honor. And for at least a little while, I was dead. I saw the afterlife.
Honor asked,
what was it like?
Yes,
Bishop Galbraith asked.
What was it like?
He woke up at the same time Sonny had, and now sat on the pew behind Sonny, trying to fend off the two nuns aggressively fussing over him. Sonny painfully twisted in his seat to look at the bishop and said,
well, I didn't see heaven. I saw the other place.
Galbraith raised his eyebrows and said,
really?
Yes. There were three devils. Two were female. I think they were there to tempt me. The third was male. I think he was in charge.
Galbraith nodded sagely.
He had a forceful manner, did he? The bearing of a natural leader?
No, he was just older than the other two.
Oh.
Much older, maybe hundreds of years.
I see.
And the other two moved around and did things while he just stood in one place and talked, like he was used to having others do things for him.
From several pews over, Sister Flora said,
typical.
Bishop Galbraith said,
I understand. What did these devils say to you, Sonny?
Sonny looked at the bishop, then at Honor, and said,
that's a strange thing. The very old one said that I was a good boy, and that I was on the right path. They said that if I keep going exactly as I am, that I wouldn't ever have to go back or see them again. Father, what does it mean?
Probably exactly what it sounds like. Did they say anything else?
They said to keep my back wounds clean and dry, and to wear loose-fitting light shirts until my burns have healed. And the very old one said that it's perfectly acceptable to pay my church tithes in meat or wool instead of coin, but to bear in mind that lamb would be preferable to mutton.
Galbraith said,
he sounds very wise.